Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a shift a-brewing, and you can thank the 1960s. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've noticed America's a little different than it used to be. Perhaps you long for the good old days when you grew up, say, in the 80s. Although, Jimmy, I actually have a critique of the 80s, the greatest decade ever. Okay. The music, it left far too many questions unanswered. For instance, who is holding Donna now? We were never told. Where exactly do broken hearts go? These are the questions that have yet to be resolved. Nevertheless, you look back at the 80s and you go, that was better. But even then, by the 80s, America was shifting and America was changing. And we are still in the throes of that. And we are about to experience, at least according to some prognosticators, one of the greatest demographic shifts since the Black Death. And maybe, just maybe, there's other contributors, but we can thank the 60s for this. Let me share with you from, this is Trevin Wax. Not since the 1300s, when the world's population imploded due to the bubonic plague. Now, Jimmy, my understanding of the bubonic plague is that actually was a plague, you know, where people like were falling out and bring out your dead and all of that.
Uh-huh.
That was an actual plague right there.
Yeah. As opposed to?
Well, I'm just saying. That was a real one right there.
I guess.
Have we faced a demographic downsizing of the magnitude projected for the century ahead? What is the issue? We're going to see fewer people married, which means we're going to see fewer people having children. Which means the population is not only going to be shrinking, but it's going to be aging. In other words, your church is going to start to get older too. Now, this is going to take a few decades, but it does appear this is the trajectory of the world. Quote, more and more societies are heading into an era of pervasive and indefinite depopulation. Even countries once thought immune due to cultural or religious traditions like Iran and Turkey are on a similar trajectory. In other words, it's happening everywhere. There is a massive shift going on. The world's depopulation, writes Trevin Wax, will unleash a cascade of social consequences. Fewer workers, fewer people saving, fewer taxpayers, fewer renters, homebuyers, entrepreneurs, innovators, inventors, voters, you name it. It's all going to be going backwards. That is not a sign of health. It maybe makes Bill Gates happy, but it is not a sign of a healthy globe. What's more, by 2050, there will be more people over the age of 80 than children in some countries. That has implications. Boy, is that going to have implications for these mega churches that have built these wombalands for the kids? I've seen it. I know that it works. One of the reasons that mega churches are mega churches, there's really three reasons that mega churches are mega. Not all of them, because there are some good ones. Music is a biggie. Whoa, did I just see somebody posted a clip somewhere of this church pageant that went on at one of these mega churches? It was just insanity, and it was so worldly. You know, you got to put on a show for people. And that's what the music does every Sunday. So people dig the concert. And people dig getting some life hacks without ever feeling convicted of anything. But then it's the kids' programs. These fantastic enterprises, the amount of money that has gone into kids' programs, and it works. Because parents do not want to fight the kids when it comes to Sunday morning. Hey, they love going to church. All right, I know. Yeah, fine. So the preaching isn't biblical. The kids like going to church. Well, what's the point of that? Why don't you take them to Chuck E. Cheese's? You can at least eat some pizza while you're sitting there watching the kids. Why do we amuse them without teaching them? Well, the answer is because it works. And the kids don't gripe. And that makes mom and dad happy. And dad, if that describes you, I would like to encourage you. Don't let that happen. Sometimes men wonder, what does it mean to be the spiritual leader of my home? This is what it means. That when your kids are saying, I want to go to the boomba parlor at the church because it's just so much fun. But you know they're not teaching anything. That you got work to do. Don't just iron fist it. Encourage them, teach them, and show them why it's a better thing and why you do what you do when you go to a boring old church that teaches the Bible and forces them to memorize Bible verses. I wonder if kids have ever had to memorize a real Bible verse in Wamba Land. Nevertheless, they like going. And it's easy for you, Dad, to say, at least the kids want to go to church. No, they want to go to be amused. And if your wife is insisting you go to the rock concert because she really digs it, that's the time to step up and say, honey, we're going to do something different. And here's why. Don't just slap it up. I'm the spiritual head of this house, and this is where we're going. That is hardly an effective way to lead. Explain why. Show why. And then persevere. And something kooky is going to happen. They're going to start to get it. It's going to start to seep in. They're going to start to understand, and they're going to learn to appreciate it, and they're going to grow. That is the time to lead. Don't settle for, well, at least the kids don't go kicking and screaming to church. Bring them to something better. Back to our depopulation. A depopulating world will be an aging one. Across the globe, the march to low fertility and now to super low birth rates is creating top-heavy population pyramids in which the old begin to outnumber the young. Over the coming generation, aged societies will become the norm. I want the planet to thrive as long as it can until Jesus returns. I'm going to be dead before this happens, but this isn't good. This is not good. For the kingdom, I'm less concerned about the planet than I am for the kingdom. We want babies. We're the procreation people because we know these are little image bearers. They are blessings. I get to preach on this next week. It's fascinating. Read Matthew and don't move from one paragraph to the next without asking the question, why? Why are we moving to this subject? Why are we moving to this area? Why this story? Why this healing? It flows like butter or something. And Jesus, Matthew puts it together because these aren't always consecutive stories. Matthew put together a history to make a point. It isn't just then this and then the next day and then the third and fourth day. That's not the way he writes it. He writes it with themes and he wants to teach us something. So Matthew 18, the entire chapter is about how the church family gets along. And then you could be deceived into thinking, so he leaves there and goes to Judea or out of Judea, Matthew chapter 19. He's healing everybody and the Pharisees confront him and say, so what about divorce? Wait a second, And then Jesus talks about being single. Then Jesus talks about children because the disciples bring little children to him The disciples want to bar the kids. People are bringing the children to Jesus. And Jesus blesses them. What just happened here? Matthew 18, church family. Matthew 19, your family. Marriage, kids, singleness. Flows beautifully. And Jesus makes it quite plain. He loves the little children. The disciples were agitated that Jesus kept loving the little kids because a rabbi just wasn't supposed to do that. He esteems them, and we should too because we're the procreation people. Now back to Trevin Wax. He says this has implications for the church. Number one, we'll have to reckon with an aging society in the days ahead, that we're going to see older people that need to be ministered to and enlisted into service. Won't that be cool when we finally stop relegating seniors to the sidelines? They should be involved in this stuff, and they're going to be. And you know why? Because we aren't going to have anybody to fill those roles. We'll need to find ways to minister alongside of other older believers too. The depopulation crisis calls for a renewed commitment to strengthening marriages, supporting families, and celebrating children. Please, Pastor, do that. The kids are being bombarded. Marriage is dangerous. It's scary. It's terrible. It's awful. Run. Run, Forrest. No, run to marriage. Run to the altar. It's good. We need to be proclaiming that. Make babies. Their blessings. Three, the depopulation crisis will require more ministry to and alongside single people. Interesting that Jesus wedges in a commentary about being single between marriage and children. It's not second-class citizenry. Single status is not a less than status. It isn't the norm, if you will. Doesn't mean it's aberrant, but it's most people get married. But singleness is a blessing, and it's certainly not a sin. Otherwise, Jesus and Paul would have been sinning. And we, courtesy of the depopulation levels just plummeting in front of us, better be mindful of that. But to whom can we give credit for this depopulation that we're seeing? Perhaps the 1960s. Next on Wretched Radio.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture spread away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing, while others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching, it literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on, I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible.
finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible, and while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ah, the 60s. Scratch that. What I meant to say was, the 60s. This is Wretched Radio. Was not a fan of that decade. I don't know why, but I hear a song from the 60s and I go, ugh. Even the 70s, up until the very end of the 70s, I don't know, maybe it was just my life, and I associate music with where my life was at that time, but there was something about the 60s that just, I didn't, and the clothing, and the polyester, and the shag carpet, all of it, I just, and maybe, just maybe, there's a reason for it. Maybe we need to study the 60s. To understand why it is that we're seeing what we're seeing in the 2020s. Is that how you say it? The 2020s?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okie dokie then. Why the shifts? Why the changes? Why are things being redefined? You're no doubt, you're experiencing it. We've been getting bombarded for years now. The marriage issue, the gender issue, sexuality issues, family issues. Marriage is a big no-no these days. Oh. Marriage. It's just dreadful. No, it's not. But that's the new attitude. And kids are not esteemed as a blessing. They're more like just dangerous and expensive. Where did all of these shifts come from? Well, Trevin Wax identifying that we're seeing a depopulation shift, and that does have implications for the church. And it is going to, he even identifies this in his article. This is going to cause a little bit of tension, especially for pastors. But really, we all need to be mindful of this. There's something that I've learned, and it's taken me a while, but courtesy of single people who have tagged me on this somewhat consistently over the years, when we extol marriage, almost seemingly disparaging being single. Hey, I'm single. And you kind of make it sound like marriage is the only way to go. And they're right in tagging me on that, because the Bible does not condemn singleness. No, it's not typical. I think that's a better word than normal, because otherwise it makes it sound like being single is aberrant. It's typical to be married, but it isn't second-class citizenry to be single. Jesus does not condemn it in Matthew 19. If you recall, he's talking about marriage and divorce, and he's elevating the standard of divorce, that you should not get divorced over nilly-willy things. That is not what God intended from the beginning. Enter the disciples. I'm paraphrasing, but basically they were saying, so if I can't get a quick divorce, maybe we just shouldn't get married at all. Fail. And Jesus corrects their understanding. Look, if you don't want to get married, that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to get married. And Paul even commends being single. Why? Because it allows you to work more, longer, harder, betterer in the context of your local church. And I have often been tagged by singles who have said, don't leave us out. And we better get better at that, because there's going to be more singles because of depopulation, because there are going to be fewer people existing in order to get married to make more babies. It is hard to get a birth rate back up. It requires a flourishing society. Yes, that is helpful, but it also requires a society that esteems the institution and having babies. If you've got more than 3 kids, you've heard this. I know you have. How many? You've got 5 kids? And that's inside a church. But what do you mean? 5 kids? That sounds dreadful. Oh, wow. What are you thinking is the implication? No, it's not dreadful. It's wonderful. And I think the question that we should be asking is not how many kids can we have, but how many kids do we get to have? That's a better question, because they're blessings. And we want to be esteeming marriage and making babies. But do you feel the tension? We don't want singles to feel left out. And so we've got to find a way to be encouraging both as we see this depopulation shift. However, that brings us to juicy ecumenism. Sarah Carter, writing an article, How the 1960s Transformed America's Faith and Accelerated Its Moral Decline. It was the 60s that we tend to think about, the sexual revolution, the hippy-dippy, the psychedelics, the weird drug culture. That's the 60s. Oh, it is. But don't forget about the church culture. What was happening in the churches? She gives kind of a brief history of Protestantism, mainline Protestantism, to suggest, not a flat-out state, this is why we're seeing what we're seeing today. So all of the shifts that you and I lament can be traced back to the 60s, not just the 60s. Here's the history. In a book called All Failing Faiths, the author writes, in the end, when all else has been leveled, the 1960s went after God. It's not just the 60s. That is the world. That is the devil. That is what they do. They're perpetually going after the marriage thing. It's not about marriage. It's about God. The gender thing, it's not about genders. It's about God. Sexuality, it's about God. Not having children, it's about God. Marriage, let's corrupt it. Let's rewrite it, redefine it. That's about God. Because they're after anything good and godly. The left also took over America's Protestant churches in the 1960s. While the march toward liberalism, I'm reading, that burned up mainline Protestant churches, it started back in the progressive era. Much of it, like universities, was hatched in the relatively silent liberal takeover of seminaries in the 1950s. While America was at its church-going peak, do you look back at the 50s and go, that's where I want to be back there with Ozzie and Harriet. Father really did know best, and everybody went to church and got dressed up on Sunday morning, and they were polite. Did you know the seminaries were being taken over by liberals in the 1950s? In the 60s, nearly every mainline Protestant denomination, but particularly the Church of Christ, Lutheran, not all, of course, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Episcopalian churches discarded belief in the fundamental tenets of the Bible, like biblical inerrancy, that it's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. They were getting at that in the 50s, and it started to bear fruit. They took over the seminaries in the 60s. Now, you got a liberal seminary, you got liberal pastors, you got liberal churches. And that's what we're seeing today. This is why we should be cheering for traditional Protestantism outside of our evangelical circles. They're orthodox. We want them to be strong, but they're not. They're weak and they're rotted from the inside. And it started in the 50s and it really took over in the 60s. In addition, these churches rejected sexual purity, male-female complementarianism, and embraced radical sexual liberation and the progressive ethos. In addition, these churches started to attack America and its role in the world. That's why the ELCA, they cheer Palestine. Oh, by the way, I was at the gym on Saturday, and they've got a bunch of TV monitors, and I looked up, CNN is on. That's the only time I see CNN, and I've got to read the closed captioning if I want to understand what's going on. And it was, what's the woman? She has a show where she does longer pieces. Can't think of her name. And it was a review of a movie that was hypercritical. I think it was called The BB Files, Benjamin Netanyahu Files, The BB Files, going after him. Oh, he's power hungry. He's desperate. Oh, he did all kinds of shenanigans to gain power. Really critical. And I kept looking up and it's like, how long are they going to go on about this movie? It seemed like it was 10, 12 minute long segment. And then I looked up again at CNN. They were doing a review of another movie, which was a pay-on to a Muslim woman in Pakistan. Wow, CNN. You couldn't have at least separated them by a week? Christiane Amanpour. It's Christiane Amanpour. Back to back. Attack on the Jew. Praise for the Muslim. Not very subtle at all, CNN. No wonder why the Food Network is beating you. While the 1950s are still looked upon as the height of American spirituality, there were storm clouds on the horizon. Record numbers of Americans were going to church in the 50s, but the mainline Protestant church left even in the 50s and 60s, they were becoming really palatable to people, but it didn't require sacrifice. It was therapeutic. It was just kind of what you do to be socially acceptable. And in the meantime, they were becoming increasingly liberal in the seminaries. And guess what? There's a warning in this article. That same sort of drift is happening in conservative circles. People are trying to make inroads into the seminaries. They're trying to make inroads into the institutions to water them down, make them woke. And we will see the exact same trajectory if we let that happen. Moral to the story, there ain't nothing new under the sun. And if we don't guard against progressivism and liberalism and stand firm, hey, that's why we call ourselves Fortis, meaning Strength Institute. If we don't stand firm, guess what? We're going to see more and more shifts. And while you still recognize remnants of the good old days in America, in 20, 30, 40 years, if we don't stand firm and herald the truth, you are not going to recognize the place. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.